Welcome to another edition of the Real Estate Reality Show with your host and back-to-back best of the Springs realtor, Justin Hermes.
Alrighty, folks. Hey, welcome to another podcast here at the KRDO News Station. We have a very special guest. We got Dano from Unified Title. Dano is a mentor of mine, someone I greatly respect in the industry, and they close all our files for us at Unified Title. So when we close, it's these guys who make the magic happen.
And we appreciate it, man. It's awesome to have you there. You're not only make us laugh quite often, you challenge us on a regular basis, and you definitely bring energy. We love it. We love having you there,
man. I appreciate that. I know I'm challenged as myself. I'm a challenged person. But what we're going to talk about to start off the show here is something very serious that we're seeing in the market, and it hurts my heart. Is the performance-enhancing drugs we've seen come into real estate.
Yeah. So they can stay up later, work longer. They're falling asleep during closings. It's a problem.
It's unbelievable because we're showing 50 homes a weekend, and I see these agents, I mean, they're popping drugs in the driveway before they show their 50th home Sunday at 5 p.m.
Yeah, we have cameras in our restrooms as a result of this problem. So
I mean, it's sad because I think it's going to affect some Hall of Fame ballots.
It could.
We saw it happen with A-Rod, man. Yeah. I mean, great career, but he tests positive on that closing. The other day at Unified, they pulled the agent out to do a drug test. They made him pee in a cup. It was sad. That's what our industry's come to.
Nurses are coming into our office. It's not a good deal anymore.
God, I mean, people get on full tilt when the market's like this. We get low inventory, and they turn to performance-enhancing drugs.
The cookies are just not an appeal anymore over at Unified. I'm telling you, it's really sad.
I love it. Myself, I haven't taken any performance-enhancing drugs.
You're just naturally that full of energy. Seriously.
That's right. I feel like Lance Armstrong. I'm testifying, saying, no, I don't take any performance-enhancing drugs. So, guys, that's what we want to preach to you is make sure your agent's clean. They're not taking steroids. You know, that's why we work with Unified. We know the closers there are not doing. Are they doing any drugs?
Caffeine, maybe.
Yeah,
mostly caffeine.
Be careful with that because I think that can still come up on a test having enough.
It could, yeah.
All right, anyway, folks, that was the first thing we wanted to talk about. Just kind of a health and safety thing. Public safety message there about steroids in the real estate business.
Do your research.
That's right. Yeah, pick your realtor wisely and make sure they're clean and they're not on the books for taking performance-enhancing drugs because it does help.
Yes.
So anyway, Dano here, special guest, not because he's just with Unified, part of the Chamber of Commerce. He's an ambassador to the Chamber.
Yep.
And just has a wealth of knowledge about the area, the growth, what we're seeing, and kind of what we're forecasting in real estate, not only months to come, but years to come. So how are you guys feeling right now about the level of orders coming in at Unified Title and the traffic you're seeing?
So, you know, obviously we have this glut. You know, we've got more people that are looking to buy than we have houses to sell. You're seeing that, of course, out there. And we've seen a slowdown. We've seen scrambling for $200,000 to $300,000 homes. You know, you're in the thick of it. So a lot of the things that we're seeing out there is we're probably actually experiencing some semblance of a slowdown in the economy to a degree or in the amount of closings that we're seeing because the demand is not keeping up with, you know, or the houses are not keeping up with the demand out
supply
there.
Supply is low.
Yep.
Yeah, and you guys see that on the listing side. That's why it's so important for us to have someone like Dano in because he sees it a month ahead of us, really, because he's seeing the orders come in. This morning I looked, 1,295 homes on the market in El Paso County.
It's even been lower than that at times, from what I've heard.
Yeah.
Estimations, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, this is 200 higher than we were like a month ago.
Yeah.
So it does make it very tough to find that affordable housing for the buyer, and even tough on your guys' side. I mean, you make your money when people are listing homes, selling homes.
Yep.
You know, and so you're looking at a healthy market of like, what, 4,500 listings is a healthy market on the market?
I mean, we're just to kind of give you an idea, I pulled some numbers before I came here. I talked to Coop before I came on. And last year, we did about, you know, year to date, last year at this time, we did about 380 deals, okay? This year, we did 450. And the only reason why we did more is because the builders and the building side of things were able to start to ramp up to accommodate the sales that are going on there. Now, we're going to see a decline in that as far as the volume is concerned because as I mentioned earlier, we're not going to be able to keep up with that demand. Supply is not going to, I mean, as you know, builders are scrambling. People are complaining that their houses aren't getting built.
And who are you guys representing as far as builders go?
So we represent all of them.
Yeah.
We can represent all of them.
God, what a salesman over here.
And some of the big ones that you may have heard of, AspenView.
Yeah.
St. Aubyn.
Fantastic builders.
So, yeah, fantastic. And they've been great to work with, too.
Yeah, that's great. So that's what we see a lot of realtors. They go to the new builds because we're struggling on the resale side. So we look.
Well, the value. They don't want to tell their clients to purchase this house that is $20,000 over what it, you know, what its true value is. And
yeah, you got to deal with appraisals, multiple offers. So we see people looking to the new builds. And is there any difference in how you guys issue title from a new build as far as the work end on what you do compared to something on a resale? Is there any difference there?
Well, there is, paperwork-wise. Yeah. I mean, there's obviously quite a difference because you got a new build versus, like you said, a resale. And title work's a lot easier.
New build's a lot easier?
Yes.
Title work, yeah.
Yep.
Okay. That's interesting because that's something I never have known, you know, is how much title research you still have to do, whether it's a new build or whether it's something on the resale side. So how much, I mean, would you say your guys' business is right now new build compared to resale?
Ooh, good
question. I'm putting
question.
You on the spot there. You are. You know? I mean, come on. We had a great meal at the point. He's going to be able to answer that question.
I know.
I mean, come on.
So,
got a belly full.
Yeah, no. That's, I would say a good at least, man, I hope I'm not overestimating this, but 35% maybe?
On the new build side.
30.
And I could see that.
I mean, just that's what I'm seeing on our reports.
Yeah.
So it's pretty crazy, but we're seeing that growth, you know, on the east, up north, down south. I mean, we're seeing that, so.
Yeah, it's insane that when I got into this market 4 years ago, I mean, I was selling homes at 170, 180.
Mm-hmm.
Single family, four-bed, three-bath. And now it's not able to happen under 300,000. It's very difficult.
Yeah.
You know? So it's nice that the builders are at least helping us accommodate for our buyers on that end.
Yeah, and they're struggling to do so. And then on top of that, to try to make a profit because their materials, costs, everything has gone up. So it's a struggle to try to find that sweet spot and service that sweet spot.
So what are you thinking as far as, you know, like I said, Dano's an ambassador to the Chamber of Commerce, which is a phenomenal organization in Colorado Springs, looks out for the business side, the economy. And what are your feelings personally, since you're so well connected with the growth of Colorado Springs, where do you see it going short term if we want to talk within the next year or two, and then where do we talk long term 10, 15 years?
So if we're to look at the short term and the long term, you have to look at our history a little bit. So to, you know, set the record, I've only been here since 2002 and moved here from Wisconsin. And
you were born in 90, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Or was it 89?
Fell in love with the place. We won't go there. So fell in love with Colorado Springs, wanted this to be my home. And I got here just as things were starting to tank. And I will tell you that I saw so much potential in this city. I mean, I heard about this being the Silicon Valley of the Midwest, as people have heard it, HP, Intel, all these different companies coming in. And I saw us as a city chase those companies away through multiple ways, however you want to look at it. But then I saw that as we were going through some of the hard times, we saw some things happen that started to change that thought process of, we want to bring some of those companies in here. We want to grow. We want to be able to have that type of level of employer in Colorado Springs, attract that kind of employer. And so short term, everybody sees the cranes up around town, which I dreamed of. I dreamed of our city having, you know, number of those years ago. It's finally happening. And we're starting to grow up instead of growing out. I think when we were not as financially set, we were growing more out. We were sprawling. Now that we're becoming more mature, realizing that we have some significance in the United States of America, being the 40th largest city in the union, we're starting to learn how to grow up, which I think incorporates more of a downtown type.
Yeah. So you
heart.
Think that's important then? That
very much.
You talk about growing up, and we see obviously the growth going east. We see the growth in Fountain. But you're saying is that one of the leading factors is seeing the growth downtown. You feel like that is what will
the heart of every city, big time.
And that's something we've missed for the last 20 years.
Yep. I would agree.
So you think, really, if you were investing in a property, where would you look to invest then? You can just give us your top three in town and say
Fountain.
Okay.
I believe that they're going to be the next Castle Rock of Colorado. I don't need to go any further with that.
Yeah.
Of course, what's happening up north with mm-hmm. the expansion of Powers, that's a great area. And downtown, right around the Ivy Wild area. I mean, that's a no-brainer.
Yeah. You know? I think it's a good point with Fountain because a lot of people don't have that on their radar, but especially with the Republicans in office right now, they do focus a lot on military, and that growth is there. And I think I know they've cut other bases and they've pushed more growth towards Fort Carson.
Yeah. Well, they've tried, but I don't think it's a result of that. I think it's because of the attractiveness of having a little bit smaller town feel.
Yeah.
Just, you know, and they're still close enough to the big city to be able to enjoy it. So I think it's despite what the Republicans or Democrats do, that investment down there is just because of its location. I serve in the EDC for the city of Fountain. Yeah. So I kind of see some of this stuff that's happening.
He's doing like a paid promotion right now for the thing of Fountain. I don't know how I feel though.
The proximity to the airport and being, you know, the cost of living is a little less down there.
Oh, much less. Yeah. I mean, and right now you get much more of a house in Fountain than you can in Colorado Springs.
And that's what is attracting that growth.
Yeah. And you're right. You're only 10, 15 minutes on the highway.
That's it.
Up to Colorado Springs.
Yeah.
So.
And then, of course, that begs the question, why up north? Then there's that proximity to Denver, right? And the fact that you are still close to Colorado Springs.
Yeah. You know, Daniel brings up some great points. And just as far as, I just want to touch again because we answered some of the short term. But as far as the long term, if you were to say 15 years from now, just so how involved you are with businesses here and how much you study Colorado Springs, what would you say in your mind 15 years from now? How do you see Colorado Springs?
Okay. So I probably see us continue to move up steadily as far as the population base is concerned. I see us overtaking Denver.
Okay. Like they forecasted in the Gazette.
I mean, it was evident during the State of the State when Hickenlooper says that we are the example for the state and in some cases other cities within the union as far as an example, a good example of how to grow a city. So our airport, I think there, if 10, 15 years, we're going to see that start to be a booming area that's going to be huge. Yeah, it's going to be totally huge.
Yeah. And as far as what are your thoughts? I know I-25, we're supposed to break ground on that by the end of the year, the widening of I-25.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on that? And then in 15, your thoughts on the highway, and then in 15 years, what are your thoughts on us ever having a train? What do you think, that's a yes or a no?
Boy, I'm an optimist, Justin, just like you.
Yeah.
And I see a train, however, whichever one it is, the one that's in the tube or the one that, you know, happens to run up and alongside the interstate. I'm not pleased about the fact if they just went with just one toll lane in either direction. I think we need much more than that. But, you know, beggars can't be choosers. We just need it widened. We need that for commerce sake. If you were to compare us to other states that have similar scenarios where infrastructure is a key component or cog, however you want to look at it in the wheel, they pay attention to that. And there's actually some states that have done that properly. And I'm struggling with the one that was used as an example, but we need to pay attention to it for sure.
Yeah. I think it's a great point. I mean, because really, no matter how they get there, that's my opinion, whether they have a toll for 10 years or whether they tax us more and they do it without a toll, it needs to happen.
Yep.
We got to get that bottleneck out of the way to Denver. And I'm a believer in 15 years that they will have a train. And I think that's when we'll see the real estate really take off. I think people are dreaming where they say, I think there's going to be a correction in Colorado Springs. I think nationwide there may be. We may have that coming up. But I think Colorado Springs is still so undervalued, I don't think we're going to see it.
You know what's funny? Is people were talking about living in Pueblo because it's less expensive to live if that train is put in place because it's supposed to go all the way down to Pueblo. They said, I live down there.
Oh, yeah.
If I can get up to Denver
and
in 30 minutes.
Green queso, whatever, chili.
That's right,
chili. All right, so guys, we gotta sign off. We got that short 15 minutes. It is sweet. We appreciate you tuning in. We thank Dano for having him on. You know, great information. And remember, tune in to the KRDO News Radio app or download the app on your phone. And you can listen to all the past podcasts. You can listen to this one, obviously. And then feel free to reach out to me on my cell, 719-232-1063. Thanks, Dano, for your time.
Thanks for having me in, Justin. It's always good.
And remember, that's Unified Title, folks. That's the best title company in all of America. Not just Colorado.
That's right.